Today I'd like to introduce a concept called Shinrin Yoku, or as it's roughly translated, force bathing. This concept originated in Japan in the 1980s as a way of focusing on presence and awareness, the act of becoming more aware of our surroundings and our own inner thoughts by immersion in nature. This immersion encourages us to walk slowly or pause frequently, inhale the forest air, touch tree barks or moss, listen to birds or rustling leaves. By slowing down and practicing this kind of awareness, people often begin to notice something deeper, their own internal thoughts and struggles. And with that awareness can come humbling realization that sometimes I am my own worst enemy. During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as we examine ourselves, removing leaven as a symbol of sin, and as we do that examination, we also often discover exactly what Paul describes. So please turn with me to Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15 through 19. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do what I do not. I do not what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. That realization that we stumble and fall can be humbling. Because once we see our own weaknesses clearly, we begin to understand how deeply we need something beyond our own strength. We need mercy. It is no coincidence that the Feast of Unleavened Bread follows immediately after the Passover, which gives us hope in the mercy of the Father through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Just as there is more than one type of tree in the forest, there are more than one reason that we need mercy. So today I'd like to focus on three of those reasons. First, we need mercy because we often fail, even when we sincerely intend to do what is right. Life isn't just about external trials. Often our greatest opposition comes from within. Pride, fear, anger, self-doubt, and impatience. As Romans 7:15 illustrates, we sometimes do what we know is wrong despite our desire to do good. Mercy helps us bridge the gap between our intentions and our actions. If we could turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, and we read this the other night, so it's something we read every year at this time of year. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The troubles and sufferings in this world are caused by sin, the breaking of God's holy, good, and beneficial laws. Yet Jesus Christ was willing to give His life to save us from death's penalty. Second, mercy helps us navigate the burdens of life. Human beings are not all-knowing. We don't see every consequence of our own actions or the actions of others. We don't always understand our own motivations. Sometimes we make mistakes simply because we lack wisdom or perspective. A powerful example of this is seen in the life of King David. If we could read in Psalm in chapter 103, starting in verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God understands our limitations better than we do. He knows our weaknesses, our fears, and the pressures we face. And because He understands our frame, He responds not only with justice, but also with compassion and mercy. Third, we need mercy because judgment alone cannot heal the human heart. If every mistake resulted in only in condemnation, life would quickly become overwhelming. Constant judgment produces shame, discouragement, and helplessness. But Scripture reminds us that there is something greater than judgment. In James chapter 2, verse 13, and you don't need to turn there, we read, mercy triumphs over justice, over judgment, excuse me. Mercy does not deny that mistakes happen. Instead, mercy provides a path forward, allowing forgiveness, growth, and renewal. With mercy, failure becomes something we can learn from and rise above. And this brings us back to the lesson of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As we examine ourselves and work to remove the physical leaven from our lives, we inevitably become more aware of our own spiritual leaven. Those weaknesses that lead to sin, we begin to see the struggle that Paul described within ourselves. But that awareness is not meant to discourage us. Instead, it reminds us something profoundly important. We're not meant to overcome everything on our own. The idea behind Shinrin Yoku is simple. When we slow down and look and become quiet, we begin to notice things we might normally overlook. The sounds of the forest, the movement of the wind through the trees, and sometimes our own thoughts. In much the same way, the Feast of Unleavened Bread invites us to slow down spiritually and examine ourselves. When we do, we often discover exactly what Paul described, that the struggle with sin is not only around us, but also within us. And that realization can become humbling, but it also leads to something hopeful. Because when we see our own weaknesses clearly, we begin to understand just how deeply we need the Father's mercy. Mercy allows us to rise again after we stumble. Mercy reminds us that growth is possible. And mercy gives us the courage to continue the journey. So as we reflect on this feast, we might remember this simple truth. The moment we recognize that we can be our own worst enemy is also the moment we begin to understand just how much we need mercy.